Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 20 this morning. In chapter 2 of Luke, verse 1 through 7, we have the birth of Jesus. Here in verse 8, we have the shepherds as they are preparing to come to worship the child, the Christ child. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 begins, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Father, thank you again for another day that you've given us that we can come and worship you. Father, as we read again this familiar Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, help us to see it afresh. There won't be just another stale story that we all know, and we say it like a little kid's nursery rhyme with no impact. But impact our lives with the wonderful, with the majestic, with the powerful reality of the birth of our Savior. We commit to you this time and pray that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and that you would speak to us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Tyler tells us one is he doesn't live like a king. Last week, we talked about how he doesn't look like a king. The baby Jesus did not look like a king. The people were expecting a king, but here comes this baby. He did not look like a king. He does not live like a king. Here we have the scene of the baby. The baby is born. The baby is lying in a manger. Kings do not typically lie in a stable with livestock. But here is the baby Jesus. Here is the baby Jesus, and one of the realities, one of the things that people struggle with Jesus from his birth and throughout his ministry is he didn't live like they expected a king to live. Even in the Gospels in Luke chapter 9, 58, where he's talking to the disciples and they're following him, and he says to them, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was not living like a king, even in his ministry, and that is a struggle for the people. It is a struggle here because they're expecting a king, and many miss it because he did not look like a king. He looked like a baby, which he was. He's not living like a king. You don't expect to find a king in a stable. You don't expect to find a king in a feeding trough. But yet, there is where he was. Now, we all have expectations of the king, of how our king lives. Maybe for you, you think of Buckingham Palace in England, where they have the king and queen. Actually, the queen is a little more spoken of. In our country, probably the closest thing you have to the king is like the president. Now, that's not a king, but the president is probably the closest thing we have. And one of the things that you have with the president is like, I remember years ago when they were on one of the Bushes. I think it may have been Senior Bush, because there was some kind of photo op, and he was seeing his grocery store scanner, and he didn't seem to know how it operated. And people were talking about how touchy he was, And I thought it was silly, but just think about it. Presidents of the United States do not go grocery shopping. Why would he know this? You don't allow the president to go out grocery shopping. The president of the United States does not go anywhere without his guards, without an entourage. That's a part of the deal. I remember living in D.C., and one of the things you got used to is if the president was moving somewhere, the city stopped. If you were somewhere going on and you heard that the president was going to be coming down Constitution Avenue, and you were doing, you may as well just sit back and stay in the restaurant, stay in the meetings where you're going, because you weren't going nowhere. So it wasn't any point in trying to go anywhere, because if the president is moving, everything else stops. He lives like a king. Here, you have a baby. You have this story told from the perspective of the shepherds. And it's interesting that the shepherds would be the ones that the angels come to, and they come to witness the Savior's birth, because shepherds really would have been an unusual choice to go. Because shepherds had no real status at this time. They were not the aristocrat of the society. They were actually looked down on. They were probably in the same category as tax collectors. But yet God chose the shepherds to be the first to go and bear witness to the Christ child. We'll talk a little bit about the whole thing with the shepherds and how they got there. But let's move on for a minute. The baby's living conditions did not look like the conditions of a king. He is lying in a manger. I want to begin here. I'm going to come back to the first part, to verses 9. I want to begin here in verse 16. How were his living conditions different from a king's? Well, instead of finding him in a castle, they found him in a manger. This is unexpected. You see this here in verse 16, and this is mentioned again in verse 7 and 12, and also in chapter 13, verse 15. In verse 16 it says, they that is the shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They went with haste. They went with great expectation because the birth of the king. They went with haste. They went with great expectation, but they found the baby not in a castle, but in a manger, in a feeding trough, in a place where you keep and feed animals. Now, we're not sure exactly what this looked like. You see the pictures, and you see this little building with the trough there and the land in there. Could have been something like that. The speculation is that sometimes there are kind of the ends where there's a house that's kind of set on stilts, when on the bottom floor is where they keep the animal, because they will tend to bring the animals in at night because they're dangerous out there and their livelihood depends on these animals. So it could have been that. There's also speculation that this is talking about a cave. But whatever it is, these are very humble surroundings. And the whole idea of this manger is he is born and he's placed in a stable where they feed and keep animals. And in essence, the animals feeding trough. They go with haste because the angels have told them to go. And here is where they find the baby. In a manger rather than a castle. You expect to find a king living in a castle. You expect to find a king living in great surroundings. You expect to find a king in a mansion, but you do not expect to find a king in a stable. If you were looking for the class of Gastonia society, if you were looking for the mayor, let's be honest, you wouldn't go over on Silver Street. That's not where you would go. You might go to South Gastonia. You might go to some other part of Gastonia, but that is not where you would go. But here is where they found the baby. Is this where they expected to find a king? It doesn't tell us what they're thinking, because they've been told by the angels to go and find this king. It doesn't tell us what they were thinking when they got to this trough, when they found this baby. But But we have to remember they were human. There are times that we are to use our sanctified imagination, not for doctrine, not because I pull out of my head this sanctified imagination to declare these are the doctrines of the faith, but sometimes we need to use our sanctified imagination to make these stories real, to bring us to the point where we experience them. Where we deal with the Bible not simply as a textbook on a shelf, where we deal with it simply on an intellectual basis, but where we come into the presence of our Savior. I don't know exactly what they were expecting to find, where they were expecting to find the king living. But I seriously doubt they were expecting to find him in a feeding trough. I seriously doubt that. And we have to be careful because expectations can blind us. Sometimes we miss things because of our expectations. And I don't doubt that there are people here who experienced the birth of Christ who missed it because they were expecting a king, but they were not expecting a king to come this way. They were not expecting a king to live this way. We have to be careful not to miss it. The shepherds did not miss it. They may have been surprised where they found him. I don't know. But it's good and it's interesting to know that they did not miss the birth of Christ because of his living condition. What are we to do when our assumptions are out of whack? When maybe we go somewhere and this is not what we expect to find, what do we do? I think there's something we learn here from the story, because from the shepherds, because I don't know how they feel, I don't know how they were taken aback by the surroundings, but what they did in essence was they told the story. They didn't try to explain the story, but sometimes we come into things when we don't really understand. They didn't try to explain what they couldn't explain. It's interesting, in 18, we recently went through the book of Daniel, some of Daniel's visions, that time Daniel's going, here's what happened, I don't know. But what do we do when our assumptions are out of whack? We do what the shepherds did, they just told the story. They told the story without trying to explain his story. There are times that Christ shows us something and it's like, it does blow our mind. I can't explain this. I can't explain why God would choose for his son to be born in this situation and to live in this situation. But here's the story that we're to tell. We're not to explain it, we're to tell it. Verse 17, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They in essence say, here's why we're here. And this is where we go back to verse 9. They went back and they tell, here's why we're here. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. We don't know why the Christ child is in this living situation. But here's what we do know, and here's why we're here. We got some angels come see us. And it blew our mind. The angel of the Lord and his glory of the Lord came. There was a supernatural witness that something special was going on. The angel of the Lord, verse 9, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Here's how we are. We've experienced God, and he sent us. These angels came to us, and when we feared, the angel said to us, verse 10, fear not. But behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angels have come and bear witness that this is the Savior. I don't know why he's in a manger. I don't know why he's in such humble estate. Verse 2 of a song the kindred played, why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian fear for sinners here, the silent world is pleading. I don't know what he's doing in the manger. why his hand assists me in the state. I don't know what he's doing where oxen ass are feeding. I don't know why the Savior is there, but I know that the angels came and they said, unto you today is born the Savior. So I'm here not because of what I don't know. I'm here because of what I do know. I have been visited by the angels of God, and they have sent us with a message. This is the Christ child. They just told the story without trying to explain the story. They didn't pretend to understand. They just told the story. When they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. They bore witness, this is the Christ child. I'm not going to try to explain these circumstances. I'm not going to try to explain why he's in the slum rather than the palace. But the angels came. I know what they did. I know where they told us to come, and we came. We also are to tell what God has shown you, not what he has not shown you. There are, and there always be, will be things in God's word that I do not completely understand. But we can all tell what God has done, what he has shown us. As the blind man said, who was healed, and the Pharisees came and tried to catch him on the spot and ask him all these theological questions. And he said to him, look, I can't ask all this stuff, but let me tell you what I know. All this stuff about who he is, y'all have debated out there. Y'all got all this. Y'all debate, but let me tell you what I know. I was blind. And now I see. I ain't going to try to explain it all to you. You can accept it or you cannot accept it. But here is what happened. Some of you will accept that this is the same, some of you won't. But what we do know is that the angels came and said, unto you today is born the Savior. This is where he is, and we go see him. And here we are. Tell what God has shown you, not what he has not shown you. Verse 18 goes on, and really in essence talked about how they and all the people were amazed. Verse 18 says, and all who heard it wondered. The word wondered is the whole idea of amazement at what the shepherds told it. Why were they amazed? Like I said, I don't know all of why they were amazed, but I'm sure that a part of it is here is the proclamation of the king that he does not look or live like a king. I'm not looking at royalty in purple robes. I'm looking at a baby. I'm not even looking at a baby in a council. I'm looking at a baby out here with the animals and being drawn. Isn't that amazing? I mean, wouldn't that blow you away? Again, the whole thing is there's a place for imagination. Not in terms of trying to create doctrine. Our doctrine has to be based on what God has shown us in his word. But what we have to understand is we go to these familiar stories like the birth of Christ, the stories that we know backwards and forward because we've heard them all of our life. We know all the stories. We can tell it all. But does it still hear us? Think about it. These shepherds. I don't even know why in the world would I even be chosen to witness the Christ child. I know the status that I have as a shepherd. Why would God even send me to do this? I can't explain that. And having sent me to do this, why would I see the king as a baby? A helpless infant living in a manger. We ought to be amazed. We don't know exactly what they were thinking. But maybe they were amazed and in wonder at the contradiction or seemingly contradiction between what they have been told and what they've seen. The king is born. The Savior is born. And I go to see my Savior. And I see this baby, this helpless infant, lying with the pigs, the goats. Is that what you would expect to see? They were amazed. That passage goes on, one of my favorite verses in all the scripture about the Christ. It always has been, verse 20. Verse 19. Because it describes Mary and it says, Mary treasures all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary, in some ways, is like the shepherd. She sees all that is going on. She's experienced the angel. The angel has told her all that will happen. But she's pondering. She's thinking about all these things. Because just like the shepherds, just like the people, her mind is blown by the seemingly contradiction of the Savior, the Christ, the King. Born as a baby, lying in a manger. Sometimes God works in ways that surprises us, in ways that catches us off guard. And we have to be careful that we're able to see Him even there. I worked with Prison Fellowship years ago. One of the things we had is we had weekly devotions. I think it was Wednesday, I forget the date. But a couple times I was asked to speak there. And one time I was asked to speak there. And I did this nice talk from Matthew 11:28, Rest for the Weary. But I remember my title was Glorifying God in the Midst of the Mess. And it was well received. People really enjoyed it, what have you. And I was feeling, you want to say when you feel good about what you did? I was feeling pretty good about it. Posted on the first thing in the morning, went back to work that day. And I tell you, I still think that was probably the worst day of my working life. You want to talk about the day from hell? I was on the Christian ministry. I went right to my desk. And if it could possibly go wrong, it did. I mean, everything came down. Blessed out by this area director. I mean, it was one of those days. It was horrible. I just did this uplifting thing. I go back to my desk, and it's like my whole world falls apart. And I remember there was a point at which it just got so bad. I got up on my desk and told him, look, I got to go take a walk. I got to get out of here for a minute. And I remember taking a walk and walking around the building and thinking, Lord, what in the world is going on? And I was like, it wasn't an audible voice. It was like the Lord said to me, you remember the message you did this morning, glorifying God in the midst of the mess? Will you do that? I'm thinking, that wasn't for me. And that's basically, yeah, it was. That was not my expectation. And expectations can really throw us off. What we expect can cloud our vision. What we expect can cause us to try to create our own story because the story we're witnessing doesn't make sense. We have to be very careful of that. One of the things, there was a guy in our Bible study who was always like to kind of tweak the whole thing with this election versus free will. It's all fun and jest, but in the men's Bible, we always like to tweak that. But I think about that from the standpoint of one of the things that I see in this whole debate is when you look at scriptures, there are scriptures you read and it's election. God chooses. There are scriptures you read and it's free will. Make a choice. Sometimes what we can do is in an attempt to be pure, an attempt to understand, we got to take this whole thing that makes sense, and we want to make everything fit there. so that it makes sense. But sometimes when you go through God's word, there are places where you come to and they're uncomfortable because it doesn't always fit our neat boxes. We have to be careful that we let God speak for himself. Why lies he in such mean estate? For oxen ass are feeding. We have to be willing to acknowledge. Yeah. I could try to tell you how it makes sense that God is born in a manger. And with my good theology, I can talk about how God wants to identify with us and all this all this stuff that is true. But the reality is, if I had experienced that scene just as these shepherds did, just as Mary did, my mind would be just as blown as theirs. Because this is not what they expected. This is not what Mary and Joseph expected. This is not what the shepherds expected. But the difference between them and the religious leaders is they were willing to let God be God. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, insisted on them being God. And it doesn't make sense, so we will not accept it. Those who follow Christ are willing to let Christ, let God be God, even when it doesn't fit our neat little box, even when it doesn't fit our neat little explanations, let God be God. This is important because one of the greatest difficulties that we have is representing God during the unexpected events of life. It is easy as a pillow in your sheets. Don't forget to represent him, to represent God in the unexpected events of life. But that is hard to do. Think about it. I am here to represent Christ. You know, I can stand and give a message, and I can give a great representation of Christ. But when I'm not in the pulpit and something happens that surprises me, do I represent him? I mean, that could be something that you're going through the store and you run into this knucklehead who jumped in front of you in line. Here's the first thing that comes to your mind: I represent Christ. A Negro? Don't do that. Don't do that. Even more personally, celebrated 20 years of marriage yesterday. Love my wife. Thank God for the gift he's given me. But you know what? One of the things that you have when you got a wife, when you got a spouse, whatever, every now and then they say things that don't hit you the way that you want them to. Are you going in that moment to represent Christ or represent yourself? You see, this is the Christmas story, but we don't experience that, but we go through our life, and one of the realities of as we live our life is every day we are surprised. Something someone says to us, something that we see, and we have the choice in that moment to take a second to say, Lord, how do you want me to respond? Or before thinking, simply react the way I want to. Because in that moment, in that moment where the knucklehead cuts us off in the car, in that moment where the knucklehead jumped in front of us in line, I do not see that as having any possibility of anything that God is doing to have value in my life. know the scripture. God works everything to our good. The question is, how am I going to let the scripture that I know impact my life? I quote, God works everything to my good. But when they cut me off, do I believe that? Because this don't look like it has any possibility of working to my good. But that's when we need to represent Christ. I love the story of the shepherds. They didn't try to explain, they didn't try to understand, but like, here's what happened. The angels came, they said this, I'm here, here's what it said. I ain't trying to explain all this, but I'm going to represent Mary. The angels came to me. They told me all this was going to happen. It all happened. I know I got a baby that has come through my body. I know I've not been, I had sex with my husband. This is God's baby. I don't understand that, but I submit to it. I don't understand it. In fact, I'm still pondering all these things in my head. I'm still looking at the baby that's on Mary, that you know. But I submit to God. And I'm submitting to represent Him. Even when life throws me a curve, when what's happening does not make sense, I choose to believe God works all things for my good. And Lord, help me to take a second to swallow hard. And before I open my mouth and say something stupid, say, Lord, help me to represent you and do what you want me to do, how you want me to do it, that you might be glorified. Father, thank you for these few moments that we spend together. Thank you for this season of celebration, this season where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And help us to take this familiar story and allow you to truly impact our lives with the reality of what has happened. Even that part that we do not understand, help us to accept that you are working and work it out to your glory. And help us to simply represent you and all the circumstances you allow in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.